morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, you guys, we are just wrapping up summertime here. Fall will be starting soon. And even though the temperatures may not necessarily read fall yet, you know, we see the shadows getting longer. We see the days getting shorter. So for sure, fall is in the air. And that means if you're a frequent listener to this program, you know that fall is for planting. So it's time for people to perhaps want to make their way outdoor, take a look at what's going on in your front or backyards or on your patios if you haven't done so in a while, you know, just to sort of take stock of what you have out there. And we've got a few things to talk about to keep in mind, maybe if you haven't thought about herbs before. There are a lot of really popular herbs that people are growing themselves. They don't necessarily want to go to the grocery store to get the dried herbs, and they're growing them themselves. So, Denise, let's start out by first talking about maybe what some of the most popular herbs are here in the region.
The two most common popular herbs in this area are definitely mint and basil. Basil is really a summer plant. It will not survive any cold temperatures. You'll start seeing the wilting of the leaves as soon as the temperatures go down. So that's definitely one that you want to wait and you want to plant in the springtime for an entire summer harvest on that. But one perennial herb is the spearmint. That does really well in ground. It does like water. So it'll grow faster if it has plenty of access to water, but it does tend to take over a spot or a planting bed or a container in this case. So definitely right now is a really good time to divide up your plants. When you're looking at mint, it fills out a container great, but you want to just kind of shimmy it out of that main container out and see what's going on, because we have it sitting off little offshoots all over the place. And don't be afraid to do the division on that. As long as you have partial roots on there and a top on there and some soil, the mint will really take on into a new container. It's really a nice place to be able to divide, to store inside your refrigerator area as well, or to give to one of your friends or family members. I personally like mint because it does really attract some nice little beneficial insects as well. I let some of the mint go to seed, so it has some nice little spiky, almost like a bottle brush flower on them, which I think is kind of attractive. But I think it's a great herb. And the more you leave any plant in one container, if it's starting to get what we call root bound, it's going to really decline in quality. So you're not just dividing to make new plants. It's really for the health of your original plant that you did buy.
And I don't think too many people would have thought to divide herbs. You know, you hear about dividing bulbs or maybe dividing ornamental grasses, but I'd never imagined dividing herbs.
Right, exactly. Another popular one is chives. I use chives in the kitchen because it adds color, it adds flavor, and because they're so expensive to buy in the store and they're really easy to grow. But the same thing for the chives as well. They do get kind of clumpy, if you will, and just tear them apart and then they'll grow and fill out another container or another portion of your raised bed.
As a rule, Denise, do you grow these things in a pot this time of the year or in the ground if you're in a protected area, or just where do they do the best?
I think they can do best in both locations. Definitely your mint that grows a lot faster is going to tend to sprawl and take over. So if you can get a place into the ground in a raised bed, it probably do a lot better for you for many seasons before it needs to be divided. If you have it in a container, it's very portable. It's very easy to get to and harvest, but yet you're going to have more maintenance. You have to water it a little bit more frequently because it's going to dry out, and then it's going to eventually fill out that container as well. So it's really for your what you plan to do with your plant, or how established you want your herb garden to be. If you want sporadic plants, then go ahead and put them in the ground. If you are going to take them and use them very often in the kitchen, then you're going to constantly be pruning them, because that's what you're doing when you're harvesting is pruning your plant at the same time. So it's really on what you need, but they'll do well in both.
Yeah, I've always heard that mint, but I guess spearmint also, it can overtake. So if you can control the location, meaning put it in a pot, then it won't overcome all the other items in that particular area in the ground. Is that true?
Right, yeah. Exactly. And it will root. I mean, if it sends out a shoot, it will start to root into your grass or wherever in your outside area. But, I mean, it's kind of nice.
It's controllable.
It's controllable. Yeah. Just don't treat it like a weed. Right. Don't kill it off. But there's also some other nice drought and heat tolerant herbs that we see around town used for landscaping purposes. Mm-hmm. And that most common one is the rosemary.
Rosemary.
We usually see the one it's more of a creeping rosemary, but there's also some nice upright ones as well. And they do have nice little purple flowers and they attract bees and it's really fragrant. Lavender, low-growing thyme is also a really good popular thing when you talk about herbs. I found in my experience that even people that don't consider themselves having a green thumb or an active gardener, they do enjoy planting a couple of plants of herbs for use in their kitchen, and just because they're so fragrant. And
yeah, my mom used to grow cilantro back when I was growing up, and I would just sort of eat that right out of the ground.
Yeah. We usually plant cilantro in October and November in our area because it'll be cool enough then. If it gets too hot, then they'll kind of send out their flower stalk and what we call bolt and go into the fruiting stage. And we don't want that because then it kind of you lose the quality of the leaves.
Oh, yeah, that was the next question I was going to ask you. I know a lot of people actually use their herbs in the kitchen, not necessarily ornamental purposes. And I know or I have heard that people are supposed to sort of snip off any flower heads as soon as they come off. And I was going to ask you if by letting these plants go to flower, if that affects actually the taste or the quality of the plant's leaves. See, I wouldn't have thought so, but I guess they do.
Yeah, because really what the leaves are the little food factories of the plant. So what you're doing is when the plant starts putting on the seed heads, all of that energy that's being produced in the leaves is going to making a flower and ultimately a seed. So the quality or the taste of the leaves itself is going to decline. They tend to get a little bitter as well. So if you definitely want to keep your herbs herbaceous, which is where the name comes from, is really to clip off those little flower heads.
And I think another thing you want to protect your herbs from, if you maybe do have them in the ground or in a pot, is make sure your pets stay away from them. Because I used to have – I don't use my rosemary for the kitchen. I just have them out there just because. But my dog ended up killing one with – well, by being a dog, right? So,
right?
By being a male dog specifically. So I think if you're going to be using these herbs for edible purposes, make sure that your pets haven't done anything to them.
Don't have access to them.
Don't have access.
Right.
As a rule, are herbs cool season?
Not so much. There's cool and warm season herbs. Commonly, the basil is the summertime herb, and the thyme, oregano as well. And then, of course, you have the cool season like the cilantro. And that's really just to prevent the bolting and the warmer temperatures. But you can certainly have an herb garden year-round. You're going to need some protection if you want to keep the tender summer ones available or alive. But you can definitely keep them going.
Good.
I'm surprised, Bill, that you don't have any good herb stories. You know, you're sort of our experimental gardener here at the table. So I was going to ask you if you've experimented with anything and what kind of success you've had.
I have not really done much with herbs at all. I don't know if I just don't have the right locations or the inclination to do it. I just don't have any experience with herbs. So I don't. I can't give you any
insight,
good or bad.
Well, I think another thing that maybe people are seeing when they go to their local nursery or home improvement store, they're probably seeing an abundance of bulbs in the stores right now. And Denise, you were telling us before the show here that this is a really great time to start buying those and put them in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's definitely the best time to find the best selection out there in garden centers right now. Unfortunately, it's a little bit too early for us to plant those in the ground. And it does get warm in our house, even inside the house. So you might want to protect those in a refrigerator and cover them up with some newspaper to protect them until it's time to plant. And we'll definitely have an upcoming talk on bulbs in El Paso.
Right.
So we'll be able to discuss in the right time to plant them and to get them to force them to start growing.
Because I know we hear that, you know, tulips and I think hyacinths are the two that really do require that additional cold from our refrigerators, and that some bulbs they can do just fine by being put into the ground. But again, you want to make sure you have the best results from those bulbs, and so I guess just putting them in the refrigerator would be a good enough.
Yeah, definitely. And the less time that they're out in the garden center being subjected to the store's fluctuation in temperature as well is best to get them out of that environment. The last thing you want them to do is to start sprouting and to start growing, and then you start losing the quality. And then when you want them to grow, when you plant them in the ground, they're not going to perform.
And you don't want to put them in a plastic bag either, right?
No, definitely. Even though the plant is not actively growing, it is still respiring. So you still need that oxygen exchange going back and forth. So the newspaper, anything breathable material is the best material to keep them.
I've heard that there are certain fruits that give off a particular chemical and that actually could be damaging to any bulb. So is that true? Do you have to maybe keep certain vegetables away or fruits away from your bulbs?
Yeah, the chemical actually is ethylene. It's a ripening hormone that's in plants and fruit in particular. And some plants or some fruits will give out more ethylene than others. So you definitely want to keep them away from, don't put them in your veggie drawer, keep them in a separate shelf.
Is this a good time of the year to divide your existing bulbs? And the irises are looking kind of weak this time of the year. Is it a good time to divide your existing?
Yeah, you could definitely irises. Have done that earlier, right after they peaked on their flowering season as well. But yeah, definitely any time after the flowering season.
I'd like to bring up something that came up in the garden center. We talked about funguses last week. And there are a number of people who are continuing to call. And I think it's just important to say to people that nature depends on moisture. And the moisture causes all kinds of things. You know, our regular humidity might be about 20%, but lately we've been experiencing 30 and 40 and 50%. And things are just different as a result of that. And I think the normal shorter days and less water demand, like you mentioned on the trees, so things are changing. So for people just to remember that this is a time of the year of change.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really a good reminder also for people to look at the irrigation systems. I see a lot of times, you know, we had significant rainfall events happening and people still run their sprinklers at the same intervals and the same times throughout the week. So you're adding to the humidity in the atmosphere by adding your additional water that you normally do. So that sometimes can augment problems that
exactly,
are going on there.
Exactly. They're getting, let's say, twice as much water as they're used to. So this can cause problems. So just for people to be aware of that. And if you have anything unusual going on in your yard, we'd love to hear about it at the Garden Center hotline.
Well, if you have any questions about herbs or bulbs or any other problems that you might see in your yard or your landscape, give the Master Gardener hotline a call. They are at 566-1276, 566-1276. And we also have some helpful links on the Good to Grow page about suggested plants that may grow best here in the region, suggested vegetables, suggested trees. Go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, where we also have an email link to the Master Gardeners where you can attach a picture of your plant problem, because Bill, I know those pictures can be very valuable when it comes to diagnosing.
They certainly can.
566-1276 again is the number for the Master Gardener hotline. And we want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.